Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 7. We're going to read from verse 24. It says, "When the messengers of John were departed, Jesus began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? No. But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? No. Behold, they who are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in the king's courts. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him, the tax collectors, justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers, they rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized by Him." An interesting passage to me in that last part. As you read through the Gospel of Luke, one of the things that I hope you've gotten from our Wednesday night study is Luke was very concerned to show how often Jesus dealt favorably with those that were considered to be the outcasts, those that were not considered to be the people that mattered or the people that counted. And so he mentions oftentimes not only the poor, but also the tax collectors and even the harlots. And he talks about how God's Word had an impact upon them. And the religious people, the Word of God had almost no impact at all on them except to make them angry with Jesus. It upset the status quo. It in fact turned society upside down. And so what you see in this particular verse is that God began to separate people. And God has always done this. And the way God has always judged and talked and separated people is simply by giving them what He wanted them to do. When an honest person comes face to face with the Word of God, he either submits and obeys the Word of God or he quits being an honest person. Those that are religious and they come in contact with the Word of God, there is no excuse for what they have done. So now go over, if you will, to chapter 20 in the book of Luke. Starting at verse 1, "It came to pass that on one of those days, as He taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came upon Him with the elders, and spoke unto Him, saying, Tell us, by what authority do you do these things? Or who is he that gave you this authority? And He answered and said unto them, I will ask you one thing. Answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned within themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, He will say, Why then did you not believe Him? And if we say of men, all of the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet. And so they answered that they could not tell from where it was. I told you, when a man that thinks he is honest meets the Word of God and then turns away from it, what you begin seeing is you begin seeing their true character. And these scribes and the chief priests, they're not honest people. They're not dealing honestly with what the evidence has shown for them to do. And the reason you know that is because it was easy to tell. The passage we read in Luke 7 had already been stated when John was born in Luke chapter 3, and they quoted from the book of Isaiah. And there was no question among any of the Jewish people whether Isaiah was a prophet or not. And Isaiah in chapter 40 said, "Behold, I send my messenger before the face of the Lord to prepare His way." And twice now that has been said, that's John the Baptist. And so they could have at least believed Isaiah that John was a prophet. But you recall that when John was born, there were all kinds of strange and wonderful things that took place. Here was this old couple that had wanted to have a child and had prayed for it and prayed for it and prayed for it, and now they're past the age of childbearing, and all of a sudden they have a child. You recall that his father went into the temple to offer the incense, and while he was there, an angel appeared unto him. And he stayed a long time, longer than it took to do the incense. And when he came out, he couldn't speak. And so all of the people would have wanted to know what took place. I've always marveled that he couldn't speak, but he could write. So maybe he informed them that way. But later on, just 9 months, when John is born, his tongue was loosed and he again could speak. And I am sure that the first question that everybody wanted to know, what happened to you? How come when you came out you couldn't talk? And of course, there's no reason to hide it. An angel of the Lord told me we were going to have this baby. And so there were these events that took place to show that John the Baptist was not just an ordinary child. He fulfilled the prophecy and he was a child by the act and providence of God when it should not have happened. But then, as John went out and preached, the chief priests saw something. They saw that all of Judea was going out to be baptized by him. So if you were just taking a census of the poll, these people that had read these letters and had worshipped in the Sabbath, in the synagogues every Sabbath, they drew the conclusion, he is indeed a prophet of God. So there was no excuse. And they knew if they would have been honest with it. But John began to do some things that changed the course of their thinking and their life. John came preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so the people went out and they wanted to know, what should we do? How can we be prepared for this coming kingdom? And John indicates unto them that this kingdom is going to be a spiritual kingdom. And he does that because he demands of all of these people that they have to be baptized. But we're Abraham's seed. We don't need to be baptized for the remission of sins. And John said, no, don't tell me that. If God wanted to raise up children to Abraham, he could do it from rocks. What you need to do is what God told me to tell you to do. You need to be baptized. But they would not do that. We see that it was a spiritual kingdom because He demanded of them that they would repent of how they had been living. And I'm sure, again, this just kind of grated on the wrong side. Somebody that thinks they're doing right and that they're in a right relationship with God and that they are a leader of people to teach the people how to be right with God. And now here comes this guy dressed in these old clothes and he's telling them, you're wrong. You need to repent and you need to be baptized. And so the problem was, they weren't going to do it. But when you base the kingdom upon repentance, do y'all get the impression not everybody's going to do that? When I first started preaching, I was told, believe it or not, it's easier to get people to be baptized than it is to get them to repent. But if you can get them to repent, getting them to be baptized is an easy prospect. But ever getting them to the point that they will repent of their lifestyle and their choices and what they've been doing, that was the difficult. That's what you see with John. And he could not get the scribes and the Pharisees to repent from what they'd been doing. They were religious. It's been my experience that oftentimes gets in the way. That with many, many people, when I find out they're very religious, what that means is you're in for a long argument. They're not usually interested in learning. They're interested in teaching. And then that makes me wonder about us. And I'm going to tell you, we got to listen. We have to examine what is being said. But the scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't do that. They heard what John said and they rejected it. They saw what the people were doing and they rejected it. They saw what God told them to do and they rejected what God wanted them to do because they were not righteous with God. Didn't care to be, apparently. John then went a step further. And John taught them, you need to be born again. And the problem with that is that they are Abraham's offspring. And how do we need to be born again? So when Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, we know that you're a teacher come from God. And the first thing Jesus said is, you need to be born again. How can that be? So here was one of the chief rulers in Jerusalem. And he didn't understand. And so when you look at the scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't understand the nature of what God really wanted. They didn't see that they needed to turn their life completely around. They were going the wrong direction and they needed to start all over again. In Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul makes an interesting statement when he says that not all that are of Israel are of Israel. And he just did a play on words there. Not all those that are physically descended from Israel are Israelites in the heart. Not everybody that was a descendant of Abraham had the faith of Abraham. And the problem was the chief priests and the scribes, they were very, very religious. But they didn't have the right faith towards God. They didn't have the right attitude towards God and towards what God had taught them to do. What they needed to do was they needed to submit unto God's law. And the first thing that happened was God told them. God never condemns people without giving them at least the opportunity. And so, He's not going to condemn them for not obeying the law of baptism if they have not had that particular law. And so the first thing God does was through John, He sends John and He gives John the message and He validates that with all of the evidence that took place at the birth of John. And so there was no excuse. They had gone out to John, and they had heard what John said, and now they knew what they were supposed to do. But they're not going to do it. When you take a look at that, the tax collectors and the people. Did y'all notice it's kind of a funny thing to me? And all the people and the tax collectors, as if the tax collectors weren't people. No, the tax collectors were people, but they were considered such a low caste bunch that they were not even lumped in with the rest of the people. You had the leaders, and then you had the people, and then you had the tax collectors, and then you had the harlots. And these people were far left. And what we're learning tonight is they were left out. They simply did not listen to what God said. And so the others, when John said, you need to repent and be baptized, they were baptized. Then they turned around and they asked John, okay, what should we be doing? That's the fruits of repentance. They knew they weren't doing it right, so tell us what we need to do. And John said, if you got two coats, share with somebody that doesn't have one. And they went out and they began living as John told them to live. And so, an interesting way of putting this, Luke says, they declared God to be just by doing what God told them to do. I don't know whether you wrestle with those things or not, but you ought to. What in the world? How do you declare God to be just? And here's my take on this. The message of God was, you have sinned. The message of God is, you need to repent. And the message of God is, if you repent and are baptized, you can be forgiven. Was God just in demanding that? Was God just in pointing His finger at them and saying, you have sinned? And the answer is, they knew it. I'm going to tell you one thing with the tax collectors and the harlots, you didn't spend much time proving they were sinners. They knew that. They had heard that. People had pointed their fingers and yelled at them. And they knew they were sinners. So when God said, you are a sinner, you need to do this, they said, yes, sir. And they justified God because they then were baptized for the remission of their sins. Jesus, though He did not sin, when He came to John, He was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, the Scripture said in Matthew 4. Righteousness and just are from the same Greek word in the original language. And what that means is simply to make things right, to fulfill all that is commanded, all that God has said, to do that which God has declared is right, Jesus Himself obeyed. But not the scribes and the Pharisees. And I can almost hear it now. I've had this conversation with a few religious people. Are you telling me that I'm not right with God? Yep. How dare you tell me I'm not right with God? Well, God said you're supposed to do this and you're not doing that. That means you're not right with God. And that gets just ignored. And we start talking about all the things that I did do. And you go back over here and you say, but God said you need to do this, and you're not doing this. You're not right with God until you start doing this. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they were told, you're not right with God until you repent and are baptized. And they refused to acknowledge that they weren't right with God. And because they refused to acknowledge that, they refused to be baptized. And what they were doing is, they were in effect saying, God's wrong. God's Word is wrong. God's commandment to me to repent and be baptized is wrong. I don't need to repent and be baptized. They were wrong. And by doing that, it says that they then had rejected the counsel of God. To reject. They didn't miss it. They rejected it. It's not that they didn't understand what He said. They rejected what God said. And so they heard John and they understood. They just refused. They heard Jesus teaching and they simply refused. They saw the people doing this, but they themselves refused to do that. And what Luke says now is that they then rejected the counsel of God for themselves. God wanted them to be saved. Did you all know that? You know, I get angry with them, and I read through that gospel, and pretty soon, I'm almost to the point where I root against them. But that's wrong. God wants them to be saved. And they have rejected the very purpose of God for their life. They have rejected what God has said, and they simply cannot be right. And it's their fault. They had the evidence, they had the Word, and they refused to do what it said. Now, when that takes place, this was the whole purpose of God, summed up in Jesus. But you already have read the end of the story. They only exasperate this. They kill the Son of God also. They not only rejected John's teaching, they're going to reject the Son of God, and many of them rejected Jesus' teaching later. But you know, it's an amazing thing. It didn't change the Word of God. And so, you leave chapter 7 and you go, you know, about a year and a half through Jesus' life, and you get to Luke chapter 20, which we've already read. And guess what Jesus brings up again? Same point. And if Jesus had lived four more years and had an opportunity to talk with him, you know what he would have brought up again? Same point. Because rejecting what God says doesn't annul the commandment. It doesn't take away God's purpose. It just means you're left out. That you've rejected it, and there is no other purpose in life. So these scribes and the Pharisees have rejected the purpose of God. But I got thinking about that. Why would they do that? They saw, they understood, and they refused to do it. Well, one of the reasons is simply because John demanded repentance. But in order to repent, you have to admit you've been wrong. And if you're one of the religious leaders that has stood and tried to guide people and tell them they're wrong, now all of a sudden you're wrong, it's very difficult sometimes. You lose face. You lose honor. You feel humiliated on the inside. You're embarrassed to tears. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we don't live right. And so in order to make things right, we'll come before the whole congregation and simply confess that we've not been living right. And I'm going to tell you, that takes a lot of courage. Or a lot of guilt, or both. Because you got to admit to everybody, here's what I was doing. And you're not proud of it. You're ashamed that that's what you've been doing. But the only way to make it right is to do that. And these guys could not do that. They were not going to admit before the people, we were wrong. So you know what that made them? Now they're wrong twice. It didn't help the situation. It simply now has increased the amount of gift. But they had their feelings hurt. For when they came to John, John looked at them and he said, "Who warned you to flee to come, you brood of vipers?" One of the first lessons I ever taught after I became a Christian was on that verse. And I was fascinated. I went and got me a big dictionary and I began, because I wanted to see what did John call them. And there's a little deadly snake that lives over in Judea area. It's kind of like our rattlesnake. And they're just mean around people. And when John talked to these people, he insulted them big time. "You brood of vipers." And because of that in public, they are not going to do what John said. Again, they were going to lose their position. If you are the leaders and the teachers, and now it's found out you don't know what you're talking about, you lose your position, at least with the parts of the people. They probably still would have been chief priests and scribes, but they would have lost their position. At least that's the way they felt about that. You know, when I see somebody that has the courage and the faith to admit they're wrong and straighten it out, I don't lose faith in them. I don't lose appreciation for them. I gain respect because they have enough integrity to want to make things right. But these guys are not going to make it right. And then this whole thing with John the Baptist is new. How do you deal with something that's new? Now, time out. I'm going to give you a mini lesson. It was new because God had not revealed it yet. But God had said, "I'm going to do this." And God had foretold He was going to send John. And God had foretold that John was going to prepare the people by demanding a change in their life. So when John came, his message in one sense was not new. It was the same old message throughout the Old Testament, and it was the message that was foretold that was going to come. But when it came, it was new to them. And they weren't going to restudy it. They weren't going to look at it. Rather than assessing whether it was true or not, you remember our favorite passage in Acts 17 with the Bereans? And when they heard Paul talking about this, they were noble. And they searched the Scriptures daily to find out if what Paul was telling them was in accordance with the Scriptures. If these guys would have done what the Bereans did, they would have read Isaiah and they would have taken a look at John and they would have said, John was a prophet of God. And they would have been baptized. But they didn't do that. And they just simply discounted and didn't believe. After the resurrection, things have changed a little bit. But the very first sermon that Peter preaches, and it's to these same people, you know, we sometimes forget that. The chief priests and the scribes are the same chief priests and scribes that were there throughout the Gospels and throughout the book of Acts. They don't change. And so when Peter stands up and preaches, he's preaching to the same people that John the Baptist preached to, that Jesus argued with and preached to, and now it's Peter's turn to preach to them. And probably much to their dismay, Peter doesn't have a really new message except for one aspect. Jesus has been raised from the dead. What does Jesus want me to do? So he said, "Let all of the house of Israel," that includes the scribes and the Pharisees, "therefore know for certain that God hath made the same Jesus whom you crucified to be both Lord and Christ. You put Him to death. God raised Him from the dead." And the people of that day, when they heard that, it says they were pricked or cut in their heart. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what should we do? And Peter said, repent. That's John's message. Yeah, and it's Jesus' message. And it was Jeremiah's message. And it was Ezekiel's message. It was the message of the prophets of God. And so Peter now simply says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what's different. Before it was John's baptism, but now it is a baptism that Jesus Himself has commanded. And so there is a difference. But the repentance and being baptized for the remission of sins was the same. And the interesting thing is, in verse 41, those who received His word were baptized. And one of my questions is this. Do you think there were any of those chief priests and scribes and Pharisees that were part of that 3,000? And we don't know. What I'm going to tell you is this. If they were, they have grown a lot in their attitude in just a few weeks. They have changed from rejecting the counsel of God, rejecting the prophets of God, of rejecting the Word of God. They have changed to now receiving the Word of God and doing what it says. So, to paraphrase Jesus' question. The question the world faces today is, Jesus' baptism. Was it from heaven? Or was it a man-made thing? And the people pondered that, and they said, well, if we say that Jesus is not the Son of God, then we have to deal with that issue. But if we should say that Jesus is the Son of God, both Lord and Christ, then they will say unto us, then why don't you do it? And I find myself saying that an awful lot anymore. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, do not reject the purpose of God for you. The purpose of God for you is that you might be saved from your sin. So our message to the world is simply this. You need to believe that Jesus is the Christ and repent of that and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And many of them, like the scribes and the Pharisees, will reject the purpose of God. But it doesn't change the message. And the message is still the same. What we need to do is we need to find somebody to tell this story to all over again. So tomorrow, look for somebody. Who is it that I can talk with? That I can mention this story? That I can simply bring up again what I believe about Jesus as the Christ? If they reject it, they've rejected God's purpose, not you. But if they believe it, and they do it, then they will have the greatest gift. God will forgive them of their sins. If you're here tonight and you believe that, then do not reject the purpose of God, but rather arise and be baptized in the name of Jesus and wash away your sins. As together we stand and sing, we invite you to come.